Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 27th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
I think I know how a lot of you might think about this, the Lord's Prayer. It's a good prayer. It's a dandy prayer. But it's one you kind of keep in your back pocket. It's, well, to put it bluntly, I think we sometimes think of it as a cop-out prayer. It's when you can't come up with anything original, when you can't come up with anything better, you kind of go to the Lord's Prayer. It's a catch-all prayer, but it's not something you'd necessarily want to pray every day. That'd be kind of a cop-out, now wouldn't it? Oddly enough, that's not how the 16th century reformer Martin Luther thought about the Lord's Prayer, far from a cop-out prayer. In fact, when our prayers go astray, maybe it's the Lord's Prayer that we need to pray. We're going to be talking about praying the Lord's Prayer on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 1st. Joining us to do so, Pastor Paul Beisel. He's pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Iowa Falls, Iowa, and author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled, He Speaks, We Listen. Paul, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Great to be back.
How would you respond to somebody who comes to you and says, I mean, a well-meaning person, not meaning to disrespect the Lord's Prayer, but come on. I pray that when I can't come up with anything on my own.
Yes. Well, the first thing I was going to mention about the Lord's Prayer in the article, it said Luther had recommended that you pray it in the morning, in the evening, and at all your meals. And it actually would equal out to about eight times, not five, if you prayed it twice at each meal. But what I would say to a person, first of all, is, you know, Luther didn't say that the Lord's Prayer was the only prayer you should ever use. He encouraged its use during those times when families gathered for meals, when a Christian was praying in the morning, in the evening, and at other times. But Luther himself had many other prayers. He even had different methods of prayer that he used that were based on God's Word. So I would say that just saying that we would pray the Lord's Prayer that often doesn't mean that's the only one we'd ever pray. But I'd also say that, just like with anything, repetition is the mother of learning. We learn by repeating things, and so do children especially. So that would be my initial response.
Well, to your second point, and we'll come back to your first, but to your second point, someone might say, well, come on, it's really a kid's prayer, kind of, because we all memorized it as kids, and what's there to learn beyond, because it's so simple, what's there to learn in the Lord's Prayer beyond what we know by memorizing it?
Well, again, taking our cue from Luther himself, he was one that would say that even as a doctor of theology, he would frequently return to the catechism, and I imagine he would include in that the Lord's Prayer like a little child. And, well, Todd, you know, what the scriptures say about the faith of little children. Jesus himself praised that and praised their faith and said, well, if you know, unless you become like a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So I don't think that we should ever be afraid to, as adults, to pray like children. In fact, you know, that's what the first petition of the Lord's Prayer actually, or the introduction rather, encourages us to do. God would, by these words, tenderly invite us to believe that we are his true children. So,
to your first point, then, with regard to repetition, is that necessarily, I mean, you said we learned that way, but is that necessarily a bad thing in prayer in general? But but specifically with regard to the Lord's Prayer, we are a kind of an anti-repetition culture, especially in the
right.
church.
Yeah, exactly. Spontaneity is always kind of in our modern Christian culture praised as being truly coming from God. You know, churches where the pastor kind of prays ex corde from the heart spontaneously during the liturgy, sometimes some Christians look upon that as being more of a true prayer rather than those who use prescribed prayers, and one might even add the Lord's Prayer. I've even heard in some places where, you know, the Lord's Prayer itself isn't good enough, but the pastors or the Christians have to kind of improve on that even. So the repetition itself is a good thing because it constantly brings us back to that which is most trusted and most sure, especially when, you know, we know what comes out of the heart oftentimes, evil thoughts, desires, that kind of thing.
Something you just said there, I'd like your thoughts further on it, and that is it's often stated by Christians who, again, meaning no disrespect to the Lord's Prayer itself, they'll say, yeah, but it wasn't meant to be a self-contained prayer. It's just meant to be a way to pray, an outline for prayer. Now,
right, jumping off point.
A jumping off point. It certainly can be used that way, but can it also simply be prayed as is?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Getting together as a father with three young children, you know, when we do have time to get together and pray, whether in the morning or when we get together as a family and pray, those prayers, or the Lord's Prayer, since it's something that we know by heart, and we certainly teach our children what it means to pray it. We don't just teach them the words, but as we grow into that, we grow into its meaning. But, you know, it's something they can then participate in. They know it by heart. Then it's not just the Father praying, even though that's okay too. But back to the spontaneous thing, you know, there's certainly Luther in his large catechism especially says that Christians should pray spontaneously. He does not discourage that at all. In fact, in the article I mentioned that he speaks about how it's necessary for us to pray at all times. But this particular prayer is one that has been given to us as a gift by the Lord, so we ought to use it.
You write about it in part as kind of a corrective to our tendency to go astray when we pray. How do we often go astray in Christian prayer?
Right. Well, what I mentioned in the article, and I think it holds true even in my own prayers, when I begin to pray, whether spontaneously or without using the Lord's Prayer or something of that nature, or even basing my prayer off of Scripture, oftentimes I go immediately to my needs, my wants, which there is a time and place for that. Not saying that there isn't. You know, when we say Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy, that might be the only, we might not have time for anything else besides that, but we tend to focus more on our own selves. We have that kind of nature that tends to revert back to itself constantly. And so the Lord's Prayer, the wonderful thing about it is the whole first half of it is all about God. It focuses on His kingdom, His works, that they would be done among us, that His name would be hallowed. And so it kind of gets us out of this rut of only thinking of ourselves. Not that that's wrong, that we shouldn't pray for ourselves, but that it first and foremost puts our attention on God, His works, and His gifts.
There's also, and I think it's been, we've talked about it with Pastor John Pless and others here, when we've talked about the Lord's Prayer and prayer in general, that the orientation of prayer or the starting place of prayer, while, yes, we do pray for our needs, we're instructed to do so, really begins in God's Word itself. The Word tells us what we need. And it, in that sense, it seems that the Lord's Prayer is kind of, well, it's not just kind of unique, it is unique because it is both God's Word, and prayer that teaches us what we really need. What is it?
Yeah.
What does it tell us we need above all things?
Well, that's a great point, and it tells us what we need above all things is God's kingdom, His hallowing of His name, His protection, His divine aid in every aspect of our lives. Before we ever get to praying for our daily bread and all the things that go along with that, good government, good health, first and foremost is the hallowing of His name, and you know, as we learn in that petition, how is God's name hallowed? Well, it's hallowed when His word is taught in its truth and purity, and when we, as children of God, live holy lives according to it.
I heard one person say, and at first it struck me as kind of odd, but then it made sense, that in the first part of the Lord's Prayer, those three petitions, those three requests that you mentioned just now, we are in some sense praying for God Himself. We're asking God to do things that only God can do, and to do them, do those things that God does. Talk about that.
Yes, that's another great point. Well, in each explanation that Luther has in the Catechism, which I find myself constantly returning to those, especially in my teaching for Catechism, and Luther says, you know, well, what God's name in itself is holy. It's not that we're praying for His name to be holy, because it already is, but that it would actually become holy among us, that His kingdom, of course His kingdom will come whether we pray for it or not, but that it would come among us. I don't know if that's kind of what you're getting at, but it seems like Luther understands that aspect of those first three petitions, that God's kingdom would come among us, that His name would be hallowed by us, that His will would be done among us, that God would do these things, which are always being done, of course, by God, but that it would bring it down here from heaven to earth.
When we come back, we're going to talk about an aspect of the Lord's Prayer that I think doesn't get talked about enough. It is, in a sense, the perfect prayer to go with the sacraments, with baptism, with the Lord's Supper, with Holy Absolution. We'll talk about that after this.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Paul Beisel is our guest. He's pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Iowa Falls, Iowa. And he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled, He Speaks, We Listen. Talk about the Lord's Prayer. And when we pray it, Paul, it's often interesting. It punctuates a lot of things in the life of the church, the first one being the rite of baptism. But is the Lord's Prayer a baptismal prayer in a broader sense than just using it during the rite?
I would say, yeah, definitely yes to that. It certainly is so fitting in the rite of baptism as the pastor and as the congregation prays the Our Father. But just as Lutherans, as we understand baptism to kind of form the shape of our everyday lives, that as each day as we arise as the baptized people of God, each day as we go to bed as those who have been baptized and redeemed by Christ. So it would make sense that the Lord's Prayer that was first spoken over us, spoken for us in the rite of baptism would also be our daily prayer. So I think that definitely is true. It encompasses much more than just the day of our baptism, but it's something we constantly are returning to. I've often called it in confirmation class, it's the prayer of the baptized. So.
Does the Lord's Prayer, and if so, how, teach us what it is to be a child of God? Teach it what it is to have God as true Father?
Absolutely. The Lord's Prayer provides that shape to our lives as we constantly. I mean, what do we do as children? We first and foremost constantly look to God and pray, looking for His kingdom to come. And certainly, it has come among us in baptism, in the waters of baptism, where God's kingdom has come, and provides that shape. Well, what does Luther in the Catechism say that baptism with water indicates? Well, it indicates that we should daily die and rise anew, that the old man in us is daily put to death, and that a new man arises in Christ. And so, relating that to the Lord's Prayer, certainly as we strive to live according to God's will, as we strive to hallow His name, we find that's where kind of the rubber hits the road for us as Christians. So we need to constantly pray for help to have God's word taught properly and truthfully, and also to live holy lives according to it.
Why has the church traditionally kept the Lord's Prayer, as you say, in close proximity to the Lord's Supper?
Well, I don't know if I can answer the why. My assumption is because from earliest times, I think that the church has recognized that this prayer of the Lord is answered in every way in the very context of the Lord's Supper. I think that's probably why from earliest times we see it closely associated to the Lord's Supper, because Christ Himself is present in the Lord's Supper in His body and blood, and as St. Paul has said that all of our petitions are yes and amen in Him. So we're better than to pray that.
And it seems to me, as you say in your article, that and as you just said, the complete answer to that prayer, yet perceived only by faith, there in the supper, is really given with the Eucharist. I mean, we are given all yes to every one of those petitions, but often we think of the daily bread, which is the one that maybe, you know, one that we think most closely associated with it, not in terms of the Lord's Supper. We think about it in terms of breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what I tried to show in the article. Not that I don't think that daily bread includes all of those things that we are taught in the Catechism: food, clothing, shoes, good government. But that was kind of my goal in one sense, was to kind of help us appreciate that in a more Eucharistic sense, that, you know, that when we do pray the Lord's Prayer in the context of the divine service, that it's this meaning, in a sense, is elevated to encompass the gifts that are received, forgiveness, life, and salvation, right there, right in Christ's holy body and his precious blood.
You don't write about it specifically in your article, but I think it's natural, since we've talked about the Lord's Prayer as a baptismal prayer, as the table prayer that is also at the Lord's table. What about absolution? How does the Lord's Prayer go hand in glove with that means of grace?
Well, that's a great question. It's one that we've kind of been dealing with a lot, even in our own congregation, as I've been emphasizing and teaching about absolution. One of the questions that often comes up, and I'm sure this is fairly universal in our churches, is, well, I pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive me my trespasses, forgive me my sins. And so, Pastor, doesn't God then just forgive me? Don't I receive the forgiveness of sins as I pray, right then and there? And oftentimes, I think there's this tendency to want to kind of do an end run around the third article of the Creed, that, you know, yes, Christ won the forgiveness of sins for us on the cross. Yes, we are told and commanded even to pray for our forgiveness. But where does God deliver that? Where does he answer that? And boy, you can't get really any better than when the pastor stands and says, I forgive you all your sins. Well, there it is, God who is speaking, Christ's voice himself. And so I often will answer by saying, well, when you pray for your daily bread, when you say, give us this day our daily bread, does your daily bread just immediately appear right then and there? Or, you know, how does, try to get people thinking, how does God actually answer this? How does he provide for it? And so I try to direct people to find the forgiveness, like you said, in absolution, where it's given out in such an obvious way.
You talk about the Lord's Prayer in terms of the Lord speaking and we listen. How is that especially true of the Lord's Prayer?
Well, the first way it's true is that the Lord speaks to his disciples and to his church and actually gives us the very words and form of prayer in the Lord's Prayer. And so, in that sense, first of all, God speaks. You know, Christ gives us the very prayer that we are to pray. And so, listening then to those words, what Jesus says to his disciples, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven. And so, in that sense, we receive, we hear and listen to God speaking, and then we respond, of course, by praying the very prayer that he tells us to. But I also would relate that in a second way to the ordering of the petitions, that first we listen to God, first we look to his word for his kingdom to come, for his will to be done, and those things, and then we, you know, we respond in prayer and thanksgiving.
One of the most comforting things for me, personally, with regard to the Lord's Prayer, is that I don't have to come up with anything. I mean, is that Jesus himself actually puts the words right into my mouth to say. Talk about that in a pastoral sense, not only personally, but as a way of recommending the Lord's Prayer to the daily use of every Christian listening to us.
Well, that's exactly... I'm the way it is for me. I don't consider myself one of those people that where the words just flow very easily, especially when I'm praying publicly. Obviously, I don't always use prescribed prayers in my personal and private devotions, although I do that as well. But you know, when you're at the bedside of somebody in the hospital, when you're with somebody who is dying, just frankly, the words just don't always flow. You know, we know what we ought to pray for, but I know for myself, and maybe this is true for other pastors, it's just it's not always there. And so it's nice to have that prayer that the Lord has given us that encompasses every need we could possibly ask for. It encompasses not only all of our spiritual needs, it also encompasses our physical and our bodily needs, and that we would finally be delivered from evil. And I've often found, maybe you have too, that when I am praying, either publicly or with somebody in private, that prayer actually does then bring some of those thoughts to mind as I'm praying it specifically for that person.
Pastor Paul Beisel is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Iowa Falls, Iowa. He's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled He Speaks, We Listen. Thanks for being our guest.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Dr. Ben Mays about listening to God's voice. Also tomorrow, we'll discuss 4th century Bishop of Alexandria Athanasius with Pastor Heath Curtis. The new Issues Etc. book of the month for May. It's a new May. It's a new month, which is May. It's called Holding Up the Prophet's Hand Supporting Church Workers. Church work is hard work. It is taxing work. It is sacrificial work. And with the sacrifice comes no small amount of suffering. It's also rewarding to here and beyond. But in this world, part of what the church is called to do is support those who serve and lead her with God's word. And that's the goal of Holding Up the Prophet's Hand, Supporting Church Workers, the New Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask them about Holding Up the Prophet's Hand, Supporting Church Workers, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.